Right now, we're going to talk some basketball with one of the premier national NBA writers in this country. He is Chris Sheridan, formerly of ESPN, who has now ventured out on his own. He's been released from the shackles of the four-letter network and now has his own website. And that website is SheridanHoops.com. That's SheridanHoops.com. Go to that website to read all of Chris's insight, analysis, and opinions on the NBA. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mike. How you doing?
Doing good, Chris. Now, Chris, you've been adamant since the beginning, and you stand by it, that the NBA season will start on time. No games will be missed, no regular season games. Tell us why you're so adamant, Chris.
Well, I talk to everybody on both sides, for one thing. I've been covering the league, as you know, for a long time, for 16 years as a full-time NBA writer, and this isn't my first lockout. It's my third. The first one was in 1995 when they did an involuntary decertification. So I've seen this movie before to a certain degree. And I know that, I come back to this a lot. In 1998, when they had the major lockout, Michael Jordan had just finished his second three-peat with the Chicago Bulls, and he was pretty much done, and everybody knew it. Kevin Garnett had just signed an extension with the Timberwolves for $126 million. It was out of this world. It was more money than Michael Jordan had made in his entire career. And there were guys coming behind him, Allen Iverson and Stephon Marbury, who were going to want the same kind of money. And the owners said to themselves, hey, wait a minute, guys, this is not sustainable. We can't have every promising young guy who's jumping from high school or out of his freshman year to the pros hit us up for $100 million. And they had to get control of it, and that's why they had the lockout then. And they came out of that lockout with a hard cap on individual salaries. That's why two summers ago, when everybody was going after LeBron James, everybody was offering them the same money because that's all they could offer. There was a max contract that nobody could exceed, and that was something that the NBA owners really, really needed to get their finances under control. Okay, but now the system is not as broken now as it was then, not even by a fraction as close to how much broken it was back then. Yes, they're losing money on the aggregate as a whole, but there's some teams that are making an awful lot of money. There's a lot of teams that are right at the break-even point that could use some enhanced revenue sharing and a bigger cut of the revenues to get themselves profitable. They've already gotten that. And then the third thing is common sense, Mike and Brian. The NBA is coming off one of the best seasons it's ever had. If you look at the 2-3 year window with the Lakers and Celtics playing in the finals, they've recaptured an awful lot of fans who had tuned out the NBA over the course of maybe 10 years. And you know, when you're a casual fan and you stop watching a sport, it's very hard for you to go back because you turn it on two, three years later. And you don't know any of the players anymore, and it's very hard to get you back in the fold. And the NBA has gotten a lot of its former fans back in the fold. We saw that with the ratings from last year. You see it with merchandise sales. You see it with attendance, and just in general, the NBA is on a real good upward arc. And it does them no good whatsoever, and it's just going to piss off their fans if they go into a work stoppage and they lose regular season games. It just doesn't make any sense. And I always try to look at things from a common sense perspective. In 98, it made common sense for them to go into a lockout because they had to get that thing under control. Here we are in 2011, and it just doesn't make common sense for them to go into a lockout, especially with as close as they have gotten on the money. The owners made a bigger move 2 days ago in the last bargaining session, percentage-wise, than they had made in 2 years. In 1 hour, they moved 4 percentage points, and in 2 years, they hadn't moved that much. So the owners definitely want to make a deal. The players are trying to hang on to as much as what they already have, and they're very, very close. They're only 2 or 3 percentage points apart on the split of revenues, and then they can get a deal done. And they're going to talk this weekend on Sunday. They may even talk today for a little while before Yom Kippur starts, and again, you could see the end game. It's just that now that David Stern has told us that you got to have a deal done by Monday in order to save the start of the regular season, everybody knows when the last and best offers are going to be put forward, and that will come on Monday, and I'm sure they'll find a way to settle.
He is Chris Sheridan, one of the premier NBA writers in the country. Go to ChrisSheridan.com, SheridanHoops.com to read his stuff. Chris, so you think this thing could be done Monday?
Yeah, well, Monday is David Stern's day, and you know, they can stop the clock at 11:59 Monday night and do it Tuesday if they wanted. But where you get into trouble is once you have a deal, you have to put the deal on paper. And they've been saying it's going to take 2 weeks to put the deal on paper. But in reality, I think if they really crush the lawyers who are doing the paperwork, they could get it done in about 10 days, and that gets you to about October 20th, and. If you start training camps and you open free agency on October 20th, you've got 11 days until the regular season is scheduled to start. November 1st, there's 3 games, so there's 6 teams playing that night. Now, can you get ready for a season in 11 games? You answer my question.
Yes.
In 11 days. You'd rather have 18 days, 20 days, 30 days, but if you only had 11, you could do it. And so they can do it. You go play one exhibition game, you have a camp, You get the free agent market will be so frenzied for 3-4 days, people won't be able to get enough of it, and you'll have a honeymoon with your fans, just like the NFL did, because the NFL was in lockout for an awful lot longer than the NBA has been in lockout. But once the NFL decided, hey, it's time to settle, bang, they settled, and it's all anybody could talk about is who's going where, who's switching teams. The preseason did real good TV ratings, and here we are past week four now in the NFL, and nobody even remembers the lockout. So they knew when the time was had come to fish or cut bait, and they did what they needed to do. And, again, it just makes common sense for the NBA to do what they need to do as well. The owners have already won this negotiation. They've gotten billions of dollars in future money back from the players. Players have been earning 57% of revenues since 1998 and even beyond, and now they're offering to take 53, and they'll probably go down to 52, maybe even 51, and the owners have offered a 50-50 split, but they said we're willing to negotiate off that. So everybody's already told you, you know, where the deal is. They just haven't gotten to the deal. The deal is somewhere around a split of 51 or 52% for the players, and the rest go to the owners. And off we go to the races. And like I said, there will be a honeymoon period where NBA fans are dying to see which free agents go where, which players get cut under the amnesty clause, because it looks like there's going to be an amnesty clause in this that's going to take Gilbert Arenas off the Magic's cap, probably. And that's going to give the Magic a heck of a lot more flexibility to put a couple more players around Dwight Howard and convince him to play. And then you roll into November 1st, and yeah, maybe the basketball's a little bit floppier than you'd like, because you haven't had that many tune-up games, but it's still November basketball, and November basketball doesn't matter as much as the basketball that takes place in April, May, and June.
When this deal gets done, what kind of advantage will there be in there for the Orlando Magic to keep Dwight Howard, if any advantage?
Well, John Canzano in the Oregonian was the first to report that, and he deserves credit for it. But he said there's going to be an amnesty clause in this, in which every team can take one player.
Gilbert Arenas.
You still got to pay him, but you take him, you can cut him, and his money doesn't count against your cap, and his money doesn't count against your luxury tax. So Gilbert Arenas is a max player that's not producing like a minimum player. So he's the obvious candidate to be taken off the Magic's cap, and then bang, you got $18 million. It's not counting against your cap. You got all sorts of ways to be flexible and to try to put other pieces around Dwight. You know, Jason Richardson is out there as a free agent. You need guys who can shoot when you have Dwight on the team. I think the Magic benefit from the amnesty clause probably more than any team except the Portland Trailblazers, who have Brandon Roy and his terribly arthritic knee under a max contract for another 4 years. If they can get out from under that, all of a sudden they got $30 million in cap space to go shopping with. I think the amnesty clause is really going to be a boon to a lot of teams around the NBA, because there's going to be an awful lot of teams under the cap that didn't think they were going to be under the cap. And then you start to have more player movement, and player movement is good for the league. And when teams are able to change players and add better players or take a shot on different players, fans get interested. And again, that drives that drives ratings, that drives merchandise sales. People pay attention, and then you see where it goes from there.
So last thing, on Monday, we could be done with talking about the minutiae of a deal. Something could be hammered, and we can get ready to play some basketball.
That's the bottom line, Monday, unless,
yes,
like I said, they stop the clock at 11:59 Monday night and say, we're so close, let's just keep going through the night, and maybe we get the deal done by the time the sun comes up on Tuesday. But they're so close, Mike and Brian, that it just doesn't make any sense for them to dig in their heels any longer. The time for that has come and gone. Both sides kind of knew. Look, these are the same staffs negotiating this collective bargaining agreement as negotiated the last two. So they all know how each other play the game, and they all know that each side brings its real best offer at the last minute. So now that we know when the last minute is, we're going to see the best offers come forward, and I'm completely convinced we're going to have a deal.
Hear that, Magic fans? Good news from Chris Sheridan, one of the premier NBA writers in this country. Go to SheridanHoops.com. Read all of his analysis on the NBA lockout. He says something could be figured out by Monday, and there may be an amnesty clause to get rid of Gilbert and keep Dwight. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome, fellas. Thanks for having me on.